This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, Inside the Clubhouse comes in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
Yeah, I see most stuff. I mean, things are inevitably sent to me, especially when it's, like, connected to the Giants. Like, people here obviously get excited about things like that. It's hard to explain to people that things can both be, like, yes, that's not false reporting, but that also doesn't really mean anything. It's like, it's hard to navigate that space, I think, but I see stuff.
That is the voice of Nico Horner on the afternoon show here, Spiegel and Holmes, talking about those pesky trade rumors as we welcome you back to Inside the Clubhouse alongside Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito in for David Haugh today, and Bruce, Nico... Yeah, says, yeah, I've heard him. I've heard those trade rumors, and then you heard his comment there.
Well, as a player, I think your sensitivity level is much less after you've been around a while. You know, if you're a young player, you know, and Nico is still young by baseball standards, but he's been around since 2019 as a Cub. You realize that if your name's in trade rumors, It means that you're a good player, right? But circumstantially for a team that you're on, you might not be the fit that you were because of status of your contract, status of other young players on the team, the duplicity as far as the position goes. So how does Nico Horner not fit on the Cubs, which angers Cub fans everywhere we go, like earlier in the show where we took a few calls.
Yes.
Because he is your typical old school player who is really, really good. Gold Glove second baseman, highest percentage batting average with runners in scoring position in baseball. But he's not a slug guy. He's not an 800 OPS guy. He steals bases. He's probably the best base runner on the team. So he does so many things well that Cub fans, you and I as well, Mike, yep, relate to him as a complete ball player, right?
100%.
But if the Cubs go out and add to their team, do they get an Okamoto, who's a third baseman, first baseman, and sign him Sunday? Do they look at Shaw, whose natural position is second base or shortstop, as the second baseman going forward if they sign a Bregman or an Okamoto and you have Horner to trade for pitching depth that you need? So, again, these are things that make Cub fans angry, but it's a part of the business of baseball. I think Nico understands all this, right?
Yep.
He's making $12 million in the last year of a contract with the Cubs. So he happens to be one of the players that doesn't have a no trade. In left field, you have Happ, who's also going to be a free agent. He has a no trade. In right field DH, you have Suzuki. He can be a free agent. He has a no trade. So what gives the flexibility to Jed Hoyer and to Carter Hawkins to be able to talk to teams that they can move a player that puts Nico in this position.
Cubs fans, your thoughts at 312-644-6767. I will start by saying that I do not, as myself, I do not want to trade Nico Hoerner. But I get your point. He's coming off of his best season. 6.2 WAR last year, if you don't realize that, for Nico. Just a huge season for him. You mentioned the great with the runners in scoring position, great in the field, plays every day, smart baseball player, great base runner. We could go on, right? I mean, he's just a terrific baseball player. But you're also trade if you decided to trade him, if you're Jed Hoyer and you decide to trade him, you are trading him at the height of his value, which it has to be factored in, I'm sure.
So people are probably saying out there, this is the first guy you need to extend, right?
Yes, literally via text. I was just reading one.
I mean, because he's 28 years old, right? Still has his best years ahead of him. Is he going to play 28 or 29, Mike?
He's 28 as we speak, yes.
Right. So he'll probably hit 29 sometime during the year, right?
He'll be 29 in May.
So this is a very young man with his top quality years ahead of him, the next 3 or 4 years. You'd say, well, sign him to an extension. And I think, you know, from what Jed Hoyer told us in November as he closed out the season for the Cubs in a press conference, he said, you know, part of our strategy in the offseason here is to talk to players about extending them. Ian Happ, Suzuki, okay. You know, you're talking about some of the pitching staff that's going to be free agents, and certainly Nico Hoerner. But we hear most about Nico Hoerner because people do not understand how the Cubs could even think about not playing with him over the next 3 or 4 years.
We got a lot of text to read, Bruce. We want your phone calls as well, 312-644-6767. Gary in Arlington Heights has been holding patiently. Gary, thanks for holding. You are inside the clubhouse.
Hey, guys. Enjoy your show. Love listening to you talk and your insight. But I'm glad you brought up the Nico Hoerner thing because it kind of dovetails into my discussion. The only reason why you're even talking about trading Nico Hoerner is because the Cubs don't want to spend money to basically bring people in. So they're trying to figure out new ways to basically create value so that they can try to go it on the cheap. Remember when Ricketts came in, one of the first things he said to everybody was, he's developing around Wrigley Field, he's going to come up with all these other revenue sources. And everyone thought, well, he's a Cub fan, he's a business person, he wants to put a winning product on the field that worked great in 2016. But he's supposedly a business person, right? Well, one of the things you have to look at is how do you get additional revenue sources you bring in? It's already been proven and written out there for many people that the Cubs are in the bottom tier for spending as a percentage of revenue bringing in. They're bringing in north of $600 million a year in revenue from all their revenue sources, from Marquee, from MLB Network, et cetera, ticket sales. And they spend about 35 to 40% of that revenue, way down on the bottom near the White Sox. So one of the first things you can do is look at Rick and say, you're a terrible business person, because whoever's running your business, where can you get other revenue sources? Well, you're not going to get it from TV revenue in the United States. Where are you going to get it from? Oh, maybe Japan. So what would happen if the Cubs had signed Ohtani? It's already been proven that Ohtani makes more money and brings more revenue into the Dodgers than they're paying him. So what kind of a business person doesn't understand revenue sources and products? Ricketts is supposed to be doing that. You can charge higher ticket prices. You can get additional stuff. All those things that he said about putting the money back on the field isn't happening. He's trying to do this on the cheap. And Jed Hoyer is number two accomplice in this whole thing, because if he's the one basically holding the bag and not doing anything, it's his problem. Don't trade Nico Hoerner. You basically, let's use an analogy here, right? The Cubs are always like, well, I don't want to spend money and basically pay a luxury tax. I can't do that. Well, guess what? That's part of doing business. As long as your revenue exceeds the amount going out, who cares if you're paying a tax? It doesn't matter. It's how much money you bring to the bottom line. If the Cubs had signed Ohtani, they would have more money on the bottom line today than they would have had if they are doing exactly what they're doing. So you got to look at different ways to bring something in. And I'll tell you one thing. I can't be there because my daughter's got a cheer competition that I have to go to. But I'm hoping that somebody and some people will hold him accountable for him, his statement that he said years ago that he was going to put money into the team because they're not doing it. Because I guarantee you in 2 weeks when they're at the Cubs convention, I hope everybody's pointing this out. And I want to hear an answer to this. And if he wants to use this whole thing about, well, you know, we've got bank financing and the banks don't do this and we don't want to violate our covenants. Guess what? You've got the number two franchise in the you can go ahead and renegotiate your covenants. Any bank's going to give you money for a product on the field that basically is billions.
Gary, we appreciate it. I think a lot of people feel similarly.
He's passionate and he speaks intelligently about what he's saying, but there's a couple misnomers in there. First of all, 48% of your money that you take in for tickets goes into revenue sharing, so that goes into a separate pot. As far as the Japanese market, no major league teams get any money from televising in Japan. Okay,
I think he was talking about
He talked about the televising in Japan. So marketing, yes, tremendous amounts of money marketing the player and the uniform and everything else. Otani would be a huge winner for any team when it comes to marketing and making money. The truth is, Otani wasn't coming to the Cubs or any other team other than
the Dodgers. Yep.
Yeah, he wasn't ever going anywhere else.
312-644-6767 is our number. Dan is from Garden Prairie, joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, guys. Nico played himself out of an extension last year. And I know, Bruce, you're gonna bash me for what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. It's because Tom Ricketts does not like paying these prospects. They grow themselves. They didn't do it with N83. They dodged the bullet with Bryant. Rizzo was signed for $17 million by the Yankees. If the Cubs got that, they could have easily traded the Yankees. The Yankees aren't going to blink at that salary. And I think Javi would have been fine. At the end of the day, Tom Ricketts has a self-imposed salary cap. And that is true. That is just true. You can argue it all day. He does not want to go over it. Therefore, they are not serious about winning a World Series. Because every time you hear Tom Ricketts talk now, it's about, well, you know, if we make the win our division and, you know, get in the playoffs, maybe make a run. Wow. They're not serious about winning a World Series. Because if they were, they wouldn't have cared about the money and got some decent acquisitions at the trade deadline last year. And they couldn't even outbid the Astros on a three-year, $59 to $63 million contract for that pitcher. Are you kidding? This is Chicago Cubs. They print money, and they are crying poor. Tom Ricketts should go by the Tampa Bay Rays, build the stadium, because that's all he really cares about. And he can put all the money into the stadium. Sell this team if you're not serious about winning a World Series.
Dan, appreciate the call.
Love the passion.
Bruce?
As far as them not wanting to keep their players, they made a monumental mistake in releasing Kyle Schwarber in 2021.
No doubt about that.
That was as big a mistake as you could possibly make at that time by non-tendering him. As far as their other number ones go, you can't fight about Bryant or Baez and what they got back, even if they got nothing back. What they've been able to do, Baez had a little bit of a comeback to being a little bit of an above-average player last year. Two bad years before that. Bryant, unfortunately, physically has totally broken down. Rizzo, you know, you can argue that he had a couple more years left in him, maybe. But saying that they don't keep their own players, Ian Happ is entering his 10th year as a Cub this year. Nico Hoerner is entering his 7th year as a Cub this year. So, you know, some of those things, and again, the passion of the caller, tremendous. We love it. You know, we love your opinion and everything else. You're not wrong about some things. Other areas, you know, maybe not right.
Bruce, before we get out to the phones, I do want to ask you, because a lot of the texters are asking for the latest. We already talked about Kyle Tucker, but people are asking Alex Bregman thinks. We saw yesterday, I believe it was Buster Olney that was online on X, said that the Red Sox have made a, quote, substantial offer to Alex Bregman to bring him back. What are you hearing about Bregman and specifically about the Cubs?
Well, there was a report out there that he's being offered 5 years, $160 million right now. He made $40 million last year. He walked away from $80 million, a two-year deal left on the three-year contract he signed last year with Boston. And, you know, all along everybody thought Boston would be back in it. But when you walk away from that money, you're checking out the rest of the market. So idea of him going back to Boston probably makes sense. But the Cubs have had numerous conversations with Scott Boras about Bregman over the last 2 months. And, you know, in a lot of ways, he would fit for the Cubs as well. Now, is he at age 32 the player that you want for the next 5 years playing third base? Does Bregman's name in the lineup change the offense and the way it's looked at and the way council can go to war every day? Yeah, I think he does. You know, he's a really good player. If you signed him, it also gives you the luxury of having Shaw as your super utility guy in the infield or as a trade piece, as well as Horner being a trade piece and Shaw playing second. So it opens up an awful lot of flexibility moving forward as well. Again, is he going to sign with the Cubs? I can't tell you that. I can just tell you they've had many conversations with Boras about Bregman.
We know they like the player. One other guy we know they like, although I don't think he's coming back. I think this one, you know, you could figure this one out from the end of the season, is Cody Bellinger, the former Cub, now Yankee, now free agent. But all signs, I guess you would say, Bruce, point towards a reunion, or is that still kind of up in the air?
He's going to get a really good contract with the Yankees. The Mets certainly would be interested as well. They need to try to replace the firepower of Alonso at first base and Nimmo, who they traded away. You know, they have some good players still left. The Mets were, you know, a big disappointment last year as to losing their top closer and their top power player, position player. They have to make some noise out there. So I would assume eventually you're going to hear them on Turner as well.
Yeah, that would be interesting, whether it's Kyle Tucker or Belly.
I'm sorry,
or
Tucker.
No,
yeah.
Totally understood. And that's one of the things, if you look at that Mets outfield specifically, it's there's some holes there, and they lost Diaz and they lost Alonso, and they spend. So you know that's coming. As we get back out to the phone lines, we'll take a few more calls before we get to Joe Maddon at the bottom of the hour to the northwest side, and Kevin joins us inside the clubhouse. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good,
I'm
Kevin.
I'm so sick of hearing about this Nico Horner stuff. I've been a fan and all my life. I had season tickets. All the Cubs have always lacked contact hitters, baseball players that put the ball in play instead of swinging at a ball that's thrown in the bleachers and striking out. The list can go on and on and on. I don't understand what the infatuation also is with Ian Happ starting in left field year after year after year. Take a look at his statistics. Look what he's done in the playoffs. And you're blocking these young kids from coming up and possibly having great careers. You're talking about playing this Shaw, getting him in there. How about these outfielders, giving them time? Owen Casey, Alcantara, whatever his name is. But, I mean, it gets ridiculous when you're blocking them with a .224 batting average.
Kevin,
listen for your thoughts, gentlemen.
Kevin, thanks for your call. Bruce, your rebuttal on Ian Happ.
First of all, continue to be impressed with the passionate people that we get listening to our show and calling in, right? It's just, you know, White Sox Cub fans that we have listening and paying attention to what we do on the Score, you know, we appreciate you very much, as well as this caller. The Cubs have not come out and said they're trading Nico Horner, okay? There's been no conversation about them saying they're trading him. there was a report in San Francisco that the Giants have asked about Nico Hoerner, okay? Part of the job of a general manager or president of baseball operations is to listen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when that gets out, fan bases are outraged. I don't think the Cubs are out there seeking a trade for Nico Hoerner at this point. What they have to do is listen to everybody that has an idea about why they want Hoerner and why you should part with him. That's part of the job, right? Okay.
Agreed.
Anger or not. Now, if you want to get angry about the fact that there's no extension for Nico Hoerner, then we have to go inside Nico Hoerner, his agent, and the conversations that they've had with the Cubs, right? What are they looking for? What does he want at age 29 next year as a possible free agent in November for the future? This will be the biggest contract that he signs of his career. Is it 3, 4, 5, 6 years? How much does that look like, right? How much money is that? He's making $12 million now. Probably underpaid right now at that position.
Agreed.
But he signed a 3-year deal that got him to this point. So we have to get both sides. The Cub Convention, 2 weeks from today, actually 2 weeks from yesterday, we'll be talking to Nico Hoerner. We'll be talking to Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins about whether there is an extension out there for Nico Hoerner.
And as we go to break, because the Ian Happ conversation has pulled both pro-Happ and anti-Happ all over the place on both the phone lines and the texts. He is a four-war player for the last 4 years in a row. He's a four-time Gold Glove winner 4 years in a row. Plays every day. Very similar to Nico. They play every day. They're first-round picks for the Cubs. They've been here a long time. People seem to be pretty polarized by these guys, and I get it with Ian Happ because he doesn't hit for a ton of average, but low 20s in the homers, Gold Glove in left field, plays every day, good clubhouse guy. It's
$20 million.
Yep.
Okay. And again, he's going to be playing in his 10th year as a Cub. And he's still a young guy. He's 32 years. He's going to play at 31, going to 32.
Yep.
Still a very viable guy. Does he help you more by signing him to an extension, Mike, or trading him to Cincinnati or Pittsburgh for really good talent, places that he comes from and has thrived? A Pittsburgh native, an offense of Pittsburgh that is starting to try to establish himself as a better team with very great young pitching, starting with Skeens. Cincinnati, where he's hit like 800 in his career.
No doubt.
Went to the University of Cincinnati. Places that Ian might waive a no trade if the Cubs were going to trade him. He doesn't want to leave. He wants to stay. Why wouldn't he want to stay? I mean, he's been a really good player for a long time. That doesn't mean that you can't trade him. That doesn't mean you won't lose him in free agency next November.
He's your longest tenured Cub. I remember over the last season when he played in his 1,000th career game as a Cub, something that doesn't happen often, right, where you have that kind of longevity anymore. So it's definitely a conversation, and we can ask his very first big league manager about it and lots of other stuff next when we talk to Joe Maddon. We're excited to do so. The former Cubs skipper joins us next. Alongside Bruce Levine, I'm Mike Esposito in for David Haw today. This is Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Two down. Cubs lead by a run. Tying run at first. Martinez at the plate. Bryant guards the line at third. Here we go. Montgomery's pitch. A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time! And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series! The Cubs come pouring out of the dugout, jumping up and down like a bunch of delirious 10-year-olds. The longest drought in the history of American sports is over, and the celebration begins.
I still feel like a delirious 10-year-old listening to that call of our friend Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call. Cubs winning the World Series, somehow that is 10 years ago, and we're going to talk about that and lots of other stuff right now as we hop on out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com.
And we bring in that outstanding manager of that team and a good friend of ours. Our friend Joe Madden joins us on Inside the Clubhouse this Saturday morning. And Joe, it never gets old, does it?
Especially when you hear Pat saying it, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Just his extemporaneous call, reported it as exactly as it was. I miss that guy. We used to have some great conversations, but it's also wonderful talking to you two guys, too.
Joe, you're coming in for the Cub convention, which is outstanding because it's the first official time you'll be back in any type of Cub situation since 2019 when you and the Cubs decided it was time to move on. What are your thoughts and what were your, you know, nervousness, trepidation, excitement all about knowing you're coming back to be at the convention?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about so many different things, but primarily it really revolves around the city itself and the fans and the people there. That's really the main reason I want to come back. And of course, the players will be there and the guys that you work with. That's the other carrot right there. But primarily, I learned very quickly what Chicago was all about. And I learned even more quickly what the Cubs fans were all about. And even from the beginning, the whole point was to do what we did. There's no other reason to show up. I know it hadn't happened in a while. You just went over that, but I really had a strong feeling that we could do it, and we did, obviously. So this is one of those things. You always have to celebrate achievement, even if it's 10 years later. They always put like these decade decisions on regarding when we're going to celebrate, but it's going to be cool. And it's, like I said, primarily getting back with the group itself. And then I don't even know if it's more importantly or not. I think our guys would say the same thing for the people of Chicago and the Cubs fan base.
Yeah, Joe, no doubt about it. And to me, and I mentioned at the top of the segment, it seems extremely difficult to believe that it's been 10 years. It doesn't seem like that long. The time has gone by in a blink. But you guys really, your first year was one of the more exciting years that I've ever experienced as a Cubs fan, and that led into that World Series year, the 2015 season when guys kind of came into their own.
Yeah, I don't think 2015 gets spoken about enough. I agree with you. I mean, that was really quite a year. Talk about really low expectations, actually, other than the fact we made some changes. And if you look at the roster itself, how it really evolved during the course of the season, some of the adjustments we made, a big series against the Giants towards the end of the year. All those things happened and, of course, ran into a buzzsaw. I'd love to see had we played somebody other than the Mets being that hot at that moment. But, yeah, a lot of things occurred unexpectedly, but did set up the groundwork for 2016 and beyond. So one of my favorite years ever was 2015, I agree.
I remember talking to you in 2019 in St. Louis after you and Theo came out and had that short press conference among us media people and said you weren't coming back. And then just having some conversations with you after that and talking about the shelf life of a manager and how you signed that 5-year contract and you had talked throughout that about whether that is really the real time that a manager has to either make it or break it and move on. It seems to even gotten shorter since you left the Cubs and went on manage the Angels for a while as well. What are your views of managing in the big leagues now compared to 10 years ago and the idea that win or you're gone, baby?
Well, we did win. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. We did win, and we're still gone. That's just the way of the world at that point. I really wish we had stayed longer. I wanted to stay longer. I thought at least 3 more years would have been quite interesting. And keeping that group together, I know a lot of the money involvement, the fact that a lot of these guys are young and going to be due some more bucks to stick around, that kind of thing. So that absolutely played part of the decision. But as a group, I thought we really complemented our strengths and weaknesses well together. And I think we could have called something out. Maybe not another World Series title. That's really hard to do, but definitely made some decent playoff runs. I really wish we had gotten at least 3 more. The difference now is just the front office involvement. I mean, it's really evolved into that. I mean, there was a time that the manager was way more powerful and omnipotent than any GM was. I mean, for years, the GM front office guys were afraid to walk into a clubhouse. It was intimidating. It was daunting. And then it's really, it's turned. I mean, right now it's primarily, everything is run through the front office. And I've said it before, and I think you're on your way to doing it. You can see it right now, more of a middle management component to what happens on the field as opposed to what happens above. You know, the really large-sized baseball operations departments, really, that's what's really driving it right now compared to when I first started. I mean, there's no way, you know, Gene Mock gets that interference, or you can talk about, you know, Jim Fry would never have had that. Zim would not have had that interference, in a sense. And it is. I mean, I'm all about collaboration, and I still am about collaboration, but there, you know, everybody's got a certain job to do, and right now that's kind of become blurred. And so I think that's the difference. And with that, it's at the point, I think, where as there was a time when it was really important who your manager was, and you really felt good about the direction he would set and how he would lead and how he'd run a game, talk to his players, communicate, et cetera. But I don't know, right now the communication needs to be more the ability to talk to the press maybe before and after the game. And of course, hopefully maintain a decent or a good clubhouse situation. So the lines, like the song, the lines have been blurred. And so I think there's a crossover going on right now. And that's why a manager, I think from a perspective of front office, isn't deemed as vital as it once had.
Talking to Joe Maddon here on Inside the Clubhouse. And Joe, to me, it's very ironic because you were, to me, one of the very first guys that was able to bridge that, you know, the front office with the clubhouse and still be a quality manager and do all the stuff that you do with the players while collaborating with the front office. So to hear you say that, I mean, it really has swung the other way, hasn't it?
Yeah, listen, I'm all about, like I said that earlier, I love that. I mean, I used to talk to my guys that had worked with me before that were having a hard time maintaining a job, and I would insist to them, listen, you really need to learn how to work with your front office guys, your front office group, and you have to get brought up to speed regarding the changes and regarding information, how it's gathered, how it's distributed. And I used to encourage, I mean, a lot of coaches that I worked with in, I don't know, 2005 to 10 and maybe up to 15, guys were not as suited or given, you know, jobs on a major league level. I just try to encourage them to get more into that and understand that. And that's going to make it, and I use the word, more employable. And it's true. And that's really what has occurred. So right now you're getting people with really little or no experience whatsoever doing this particular job. I was talking about managing right now, or even coaching on a major league level, because it's not deemed as important as it once had been. And whether you agree with it or not, that's just the way of the world. Bruce Hornsby said it best, that's the way it is. And so that is the way it is. So there's no arguing about it. I'm not here upset. I'm not bitter. I'm not talking. I'm just telling you about, you asked the question, this is what's going on. And that's the difference as I see it.
The gratification from one of your players and two of your coaches going on to being big league managers, one of them in Davey Martinez winning a World Series in 2019, What does that mean to you? How much validation is that for you personally? Not for the other part of the world to see, but just your own personal relationships with these people.
Well, it's very gratifying. I mean, you know, we stayed in touch, Davey, and then you're talking about Hyder, Brendan Hyder, who I just got hired by the Rays, and I was ecstatic about that. He and I have been in contact. I'm in Tampa and Pennsylvania, so he and I stay in touch. He's down in Florida. So I love all of that. You could go back to, you know, the Rocco Baldellis of the world, all these other guys that have gotten opportunities to become major league managers, even a David Ross, you know, as a player for a bit. And David and I started playing golf together and just had an event in Tampa, and David showed up. So, you know, you like to think that you may have had maybe one little something that you might have said, but I know the guys that I had worked with have all influenced me. I mean, I've talked about Gene a lot, Mock. I've talked about him a lot. I've talked about Johnny McNamara, Marcel Lachman, Bob Clear. I could go up and down the list. We all take something from somebody. We're all plagiarists, and then you have to plagiarize and then put your own stamp on it somehow. And I think that's what we all do as human beings. So the fact that I may have influenced somebody the way maybe Bob Clear influenced me, I'll take it.
Talking to Joe Maddon a few more minutes here and Inside the Clubhouse. Joe, as Bruce and I have been talking about throughout the show, with free agency still ongoing, looming over all this is the CBA and what's coming up next year. Do you have any thoughts or insight as to how this plays out, or what you think will play out here in the negotiations?
I have zero insight except what I'm reading. And, you know, the fact of the lack of movement with free agents also indicates that it's pointing in that direction. I think everybody's being very conservative right now because they don't know. We don't know. I'd be surprised if there wasn't some kind of a stoppage somehow, and that this did. I mean, the 11th hour is still the most powerful hour there is in any negotiation. I don't care if it's a bid you put on a house at some point, or a Major League Baseball player in the CBA, whatever. The 11th hour has to occur before you really understand or realize what may occur. So if I had a bet, I'd bet, like I said, that it doesn't get resolved in time and something does occur. I mean, that's what you're seeing regarding the lack of real movement during the course of this offseason. Everybody's working off the same sheet of music. It's not there's not any outliers. Maybe the Dodgers a little bit based on what they've built and the money that they've gotten. The Mets have tried to be an outlier. They haven't arrived there yet. So there's a couple of that, the Yankees. But for the most part, I think everybody's working up the same sheet of music again, where they're going to wait, see how this plays out, and then you're going to see something more dramatic occur. Because I don't think any of these players are going to settle for anything less than that, just based on the fact that the CBA is going to occur.
Really looking forward to seeing you 2 weeks from this weekend coming back. What are you most looking forward to when you are with the guys, the coaches, the players on that Thursday where the Cubs are having a very special get-together for you guys?
Laughing. It's all about laughing. I've already gotten some texts from different guys. And of course, I was just with Anthony and Rossi down in Tampa. I did their podcast of the together. They're putting this pretty cool podcast together, pretty big production team. And we did it. One of the restaurants, RF restaurant, is Ava. I'm a partner there. Across the street is a new place called The Landon. It's restructuring a place that had burned down. So we did it in there and we laughed, you know. They were great. They were really well prepared. I mean, they were grilling me like professionals. It was awesome. And it took about 2 hours. And we followed that with a thanks miss, our fundraiser we had at Ava, our restaurant down there. 200 people, raised $85,000. Only been out there about a month that we were going to do it. And David and Anthony were front and center and really helped make that a really special event. So when you get the other guys there, some of the comedians are going to show up. And, man, you just giggle. I'm telling you, it's a giggle fest the whole time. And I'm looking forward to that. Seeing some of the guys off and on in between. Several coaches do stay in touch more than others. But for the most part, it's a reacquaintance. There'll be some, I don't think it's not a tearful kind of reunion. It's more of a giggle kind of reunion.
Joe, looking forward to seeing you. I'm just excited for Cub fans and everybody else to be at that convention a couple weeks from now. And I know you are really looking forward to it. Mike and I really appreciate you taking the time today. And are you continuing on with your podcast?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Book of Joe's happening. Tommy Verducci and we're up well over 150, I think, or right around 150 right now. And I'll probably go back on the air, I think, next year with Brian Kenny. Brian's been wonderful to me with MLB Network. Both of those items keep me connected. I got a January 14th down in Tampa. I have Tampa Bay. I got Fireside Chat with Andy Freed at the Tampa Sports Hall of Fame group. That's going to be on the 14th. And then got other things going to happen. Another one April 16th down there at Palmasia Golf Course for the first tee group. So I stay involved like that to keep my mind sharp. And it's kind of a lot of fun. You got to keep the dimmer switch turned up in case anybody wants to turn it up full blast.
Joe, looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks, buddy. Thanks for taking some time today.
Always my pleasure, buddy. Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe Maddon, former Cubs manager. He'll be back in a few weeks for Cubs convention. And Bruce, and I will crack out my Try Not to Suck t-shirt, and I'll have it ready for the convention.
Nobody had more fun than Joe Maddon.
No doubt. You know,
and his versatility, both as a guy that's being interviewed and pressed by the media, as well as handling his players, I think unparalleled during that time period.
Truly a wonderful era of Cubs baseball. This Monday, the Illinois State Redbirds will play for the FCS National Championship for just the second time in program history when they take on Montana State. Join the Score and Mark Grody at 93 Octane Brewery in Elmhurst for an official ISU watch party starting at 6 p.m. to cheer on the Redbirds with the Redbird Hall of Famer, Mark Grody. We'll wrap things up here and Inside the Clubhouse. Steve Rosenblum and Saturday Suckage is next. Your calls and texts and reaction to Joe Maddon when we return on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse. Let's see what the Cubs and Sox are doing in the offseason on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Tons of fun with Joe Maddon in our last segment on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Bruce, always good to hear from Joe. And he and the gang will be back, as you mentioned, 2 weekends from now for the Cubs convention and the 10-year anniversary of that World Series title.
So the news out of our conversation is that Joe stated, you know, I would have loved to have had 3 more years. Mm-hmm. And that didn't really come out at the time when he was basically, his contract had run out. He signed a 5-year deal to run out. But he was fired, make no mistake about it. They were not bringing him back. And the reason they weren't bringing him back was the front office started to want to have more control over what was going on in the field. And he talked in general about how managers' jobs have changed. And in his case, that last year, they had asked him to take over the hitting. The team was going through a lot of offensive challenges.
The offense was broken. I remember that vividly.
And they asked him to be the quasi-hitting instructor. That was the first step toward him not being the manager anymore. When you ask your manager, who has just won you a World Series, taking you to the playoffs 4 years in a row before this one, and to the NLCS 3 times, and you ask him to do something else, that's the end of the line for you, okay? Mm-hmm. And at that point, the front office was grabbing back more of the power, saying, you know, sorry, Joe, we have to add some more metrics in here. We need to do some different things. We're taking the power back. And then he was fired. David Ross came in, and he took over the club. So things changed from the hierarchy. As you know, a year later, it was the last year for Theo Epstein, who also left.
Yep.
So lots of changes. Lots of changes since then, including building a minor league system like they have.
And Theo Epstein, yep, a lot of changes there. We have lots of things that have still shuffled around. And, you know, Jed Hoyer's still there. And now with Craig Counsell at the helm, we'll have lots of interesting stuff there as we get ready for Cubs convention in 2 weeks, and lots of people to thank, Bruce.
Yes, we do. We start with Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline, Joe Maddon, of course, our guest in this last hour here, Tyler F. or
Baby T.
Baby T, as they call him. Thank you for a job well done. Mike, always a pleasure you sitting in. You do such a great job, as I call you, the Ben Zobrist of The Score.
I appreciate that, Bruce. It's always great to sit in with you. Thank you to our listeners and callers, a very passionate group today on the phones and via text. And stick around, because up next, some Saturday suckage to get your Saturday rolling with our buddy Steve Rosenblum. That's next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.